Good morning, Saints. Good to see everybody this morning. You know, have you noticed this up here? So we got some apples and some pears, and there's going to be an illustration going on, but I'm not going to tell you for the end, okay? And I don't know whose this is. Is this somebody's? This is Sam. Sam, did you leave this up, or did you want me to do that today, Sam? I don't know. Anyway. Go ahead and open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 13. As we look at a second look at this text, we're going to look at it twice this morning. Like I said last week, we're going to look twice at the whole text. There's so much here, we can't cover it in one message, but you can't break it up. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, and then 6 through 13, you can't break it up that way. You have to see the whole picture here. Actually, there's in a sense two teachings in this chapter in 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 13. So I encourage you, like I did last week, if you miss a message, have them make you a CD for it. Because really, you need to have both of them to grab the whole. You know, some of the things I'm going to pull out today or we're going to focus on today are going to be something that are from last week. It just has to kind of go that way. You know, sometimes that's the way it is. In fact, if you've only heard one, you may struggle a little bit. So in other words, I'm telling you, you need to hear both if you want to get the whole message. So if you missed last week, make sure you get a CD, and then we can say this again next week for those that aren't here today and that kind of thing. So we're there in the Scriptures. Paul here in this chapter is admonishing the Christians, admonished to come alongside with care, compassion, but to correct or to point in God's direction, to admonish one another. He's admonishing them about their behavior regarding sin. There's immorality in the church, unrepented sin in the church. No one's really addressing it. Last week, what we looked at was how to address it. We had that whole teaching, how to address immorality in the church, unrepented sin. We talked about admonishment, discipline, separation of the church family, God's way of addressing it. The goal would always be restoration. The goal was always one that someone would be one to the Lord. It always is. Following God is always about that. It's always about, in our heart and mind, in our life, winning us to the Lord, either to walk with Him or to work in something in our life. It's always about that in our life. God is for us. God is at work in us. God is investing in your life and in my life. Each and every day, He already has through Christ and then through faith in Christ, new life in Christ. God didn't quit investing. He just started investing in a different way, in a sense. And so that's what we looked at. Today, from the same text, we're going to look more specifically at the Corinthians' response to sin. We're going to look at their behavior regarding it. In the text, there's the teaching on how to address unrepented sin, but also the teaching about our behavior towards sin. You know, in the text, Paul is actually admonishing them for their behavior. He's not even admonishing the sin. He's not admonishing, hey, you know, you shouldn't do that. He's saying you shouldn't have that attitude about them doing that. That's what actually the passage is about. It's actually about dealing with their heart and their attitude toward it all, their behavior toward it all. Let me bring a little more focus here. He's coming alongside his brothers and sisters in Christ. He calls them his beloved children in his eyes. He's coming along his family and pointing them in the direction God desires regarding their behavior or attitude towards sin, get this, in each other's life, in the church family. He's saying, in effect, hey, church family, how you live in this world collectively as God's family matters. I'm going to admonish you because you have the wrong behavior toward each other in each other's life. Because it matters to God. Because it's important to God. Our attitude, our behavior toward each other missing the mark of God's desire for He has for us matters deeply to God. It absolutely does. Our testimony together is extremely important. I thought about that a little bit last week. So He admonishes them with care, teaching them about God's truth regarding their behavior about sin. I want you to grab that. With that said, let's look at the text. That's the focus we're going to be on. That's the text as we hear God's admonishment about our behavior toward each other and about our life and how we miss the mark in our walk with the Lord. It's in that way. Listen to what Paul writes. He says this, it is actually reported that there's immorality among you. Immorality of such a kind that does not exist even among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. You have become arrogant and have not mourned instead, so that the one who had done this deed would be removed from your midst. For I, on my part, though absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have already judged him who has committed this, as though I were present. In the name of our Lord Jesus, when you assemble, and I with you in the spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus, I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are, in fact, unleavened, for Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us consider the feast, or celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, or with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote you in the letter not to associate with immoral people. I did not at all mean with the moral people of this world, or with the covetous, or the swindlers, or the idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. But I actually wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is an immoral person, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or drunkard, or swindler. Not even to eat with such a one, for what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked from among yourselves. So what Paul first says about their behavior towards sin, it's right in the text, verse 2, look what he says. Towards sin in the church or in each other's lives, it says, you have become arrogant and have not mourned. That's pretty definitive, isn't it? That's pretty easy to see, isn't it? Arrogant or mourned? So let's right off the bat, let me ask you something in your life. What's your response towards sin in your brother or sister's life? Write something down. What is your response toward sin, missing the mark, not living the way God would want us to live in your family of God? Is it one of arrogance or is it one of mourning? Let me just draw it in a little bit more. Husbands and wives, what is your response to missing the mark or sin in your spouse's life? Is it one of arrogance or is it one of mourning? I don't care. Whatever. You better knock it off or I'll just take you out. That could be arrogant. I'm not going to allow that. Let's just cut you off right at the knees, whatever that might be. Or is it one of brokenness? One of mourning? Let me just go a little farther. Parents, when your children miss the mark and have sin in your life, what is your behavior towards sin in their life? Is it one of arrogance? Or is it one of mourning? Paul is talking to the church, the body of Christ, us, family of God, looking at us, and that things are going on in the church, and he says, the problem is you're arrogant, and you should have mourned. Arrogant here, this word in the text here, you know, we would say arrogance, pride, we would take this very interesting word that he uses here. The Corinthians here is one of arrogance. They don't care. Fornication, sexual impurity, unrepented sin, the family of God, no matter to me. They're not even talking about it or addressing it. You see the effect of their division that we talked about for four chapters. Not really concerned about them. I got my group. That was the spirit that was in their heart and mind, and so they don't address any of that. They don't even have the family attitude. Arrogance, to be inflated, that's the word, to blow up like a balloon. I forgot my balloons today. I was going to have one, blow it up real big, let it go. Like that kind of thing. But that's what it is. It's figuratively speaking of self-conceit. That's what this word is about, self-conceit. It's used 7 times in the New Testament. Only 7. 6 times to describe the Church of Corinth. That means that's who they are. 6 times in describing them. So puffed up in their thought of self, their head's going to explode. That's the idea he's saying here. Man, you guys got so much self-conceit, so much self-focus. It shouldn't be that way. It should be mourning instead. No care what's going on with the whole church. Self-conceit means you just care about your own life. Listen to this. Here are born again, regenerated, saved by the blood of Christ, praising, singing praise songs to God, gifted with the Spirit of God to teach, to encourage. What do you say in the first chapter? You've been gifted in everything in Christ. No regard for God's church in living holy lives altogether at all. Born-again believers. Why? Pride. That's what it does. Self-exaltation, self-conceit. That's what pride does. Scripture says no arrogant heart will prevail against the Lord. Proverbs 8:13 says, those who revere or reverence or honor the Lord They hate pride and arrogance in their own heart. But listen to this. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says this. Listen to this. I want you to listen to this. Love is not arrogant. I want you to take that in a moment. The love of God that's been shed abroad in our heart, the love of God that came to our life through the grace of Jesus Christ that we love because he first loved us. And when you believed in Christ and you trusted in Christ, what God did is he regenerated you, quickened you, brought in you by the Spirit, the love of God shed abroad in your life. You have the love of God, and to love the way God has loved is not arrogant. Same word. Is not self-conceited. True love, God's love, the way that we are to love is not arrogant. It's not self-focused. It's other-focused. It's God-focused. Love cares for others in their walk with the Lord. My behavior, your behavior towards sin should be one of mourning. That's what he says, grieving. The word means here one of sadness, sorrow, like the death of a beloved friend is what he's talking about. Someone unrepentant over sin is like a loss of a loved one. Paul said he mourned in 2 Corinthians 12 over his church family that had not repented. He mourned. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." He said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Listen to what he said. This is how he says that. Blessed are those who are not spiritually arrogant. Blessed are those who understand, for they recognize that they are sinners in need of God's grace, of God's rescue, of God's forgiveness, of God's saving love, in need of his truth, his way, his life. And those that mourn, God will comfort. Listen, we're to help each other. That's what God's message here is today. That's what it's in the text. We are to love each other, to help each other in our lives. Tom, how many one another's in the Bible? 58? Many of them, Tom, you would agree, many of them are about helping each other not miss the mark in our life, aren't they? This is the journey, you guys. John 13, when Jesus did the foot washing, he told us to wash each other's feet, basically, as Christ washed their feet as an example for us. What a great illustration. So eloquently illustrating, you know what we have to wash each other's feet for and serve one another? For the dirt of the road that gets on our feet. He's cleansed us fully. He's cleansed us positionally. He's washed us. He told Peter, "But if I don't wash you, your feet, I have no part of you." You know, we need our feet washed every day. And the teaching from that foot washing is that we need to help in our lives cleanse the daily dirt that gets on our feet. He's talking about help each other in our lives with missing the mark, with sin in our life, so that the world would know that we are followers of the Lord. That's what 13:34 says. Let me ask you a question. Which one's harder? Washing someone's feet or having somebody wash your feet? Which is harder? Depends how stinky the feet are, right? Which one's harder? What do you guys say? Who votes for having your feet washed? Is that harder? Who votes for washing somebody's feet? Now, it's kind of hard both ways, isn't it? It is difficult both ways. To help someone in their life when they have a stumbling block or they have sin in their life or there's something they're missing the mark can be hard, but then somebody in their life to come alongside and to help you in it can be hard. But listen to this. If each one is mourning over sin, it's overwhelmed by gratitude. I told you an illustration last week about one of the ladies in the church that came to me and said, "Hey, you know, I heard you talking to your daughter outside. Now, wasn't that the way that God would want you to do that?" And they come along and admonish me. And I'm sure that was hard in her heart and mind. But she cared about me and was saying, "Sin needs, this is not how we want to live." And when she came to me, you know, and first of all, you know, I'll be honest, first of all, you know, I kind of get that, I'm going to defend myself kind of thing. But then, you know, recognizing and realizing that somebody's coming to wash my feet, maybe I ought to just respond. See, when two mourn over sin, It's overwhelmed with gratitude and love and joy and peace. The struggle is one in arrogance, and one mourning over sin becomes very difficult. You guys know this in just the relationships of your life, and we're working on those and helping each other in those. We're to be mourning over sin, so we're to recognize each other's missing the mark in their walk with the Lord and acting upon it. Now, let me tell you something right here. We're not hunted down. It's not like I come to church and I'm like, okay, wait, let me focus in. Or I see you out there in life, or we're somewhere, and then, you know, we're at the ball field or something like that, and we're like, it's not that. It's God at work in our heart and mind as we are family of God. Just like when you recognize something in your children or your spouse or your friends or your family or your people you go to school with, all of that, when you recognize those things, God prompting in your heart, wanting to care about them, you recognize it and then you act upon it. That's what he's talking about in the text. It's in verse 2 through 8 is what he's talking about. Listen to what Paul said in Galatians 6, 1 and 2. I want you to hear this. We know this verse, but here I want you to hear the love, and I want you to hear the caring and acting upon each other missing the mark. Listen to Galatians 6, 1. You can turn there if you want to. 1 and 2. Here Paul describes what I'm talking about. He says this. He says it this way. Brethren, I think we need to really grab hold of the word of God and listen to what they'll say. Sometimes we skip over that. The word brethren. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, family. You need to hear it that way every time, because that's the way God's word is written. Look at me for a second. Family, that's how that's written. That's how God's word is talking about. Even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. Each one looking for to yourselves so that you will not be tempted. Hear what he said. You see the family love here, the mourning here. I see that you're caught. Or that was heard. Did you hear what you said to your daughter? That's what the one that loved me said. I know you don't want to say that way. I care about you, and if you're spiritual, that means you're not being fleshly, not just a restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. But listen to verse 2. Bear one another's burdens, and therefore or thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Man, I see that you're struggling. I see you're stumbling. I'm here. I want to help you. Let me help you. It says it fulfills the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? Love one another like I've loved you. This is our walk, you guys. This is life in the body of Christ. Helping each other in these things in our life. I didn't say it was easy. And we can get it all. We can be stubborn. We can have all of that. Listen to what James said in James 5. Listen to what James wrote. We know this passage a little bit. You can turn there if you want to with me. But listen to what James wrote in James 5, 19 and 20. I want you to hear this. He wrote this. He's writing to him, my brethren. I want to encourage you to hear that again. My brothers and sisters in the Lord. Brethren is plural and means both male and female. My brethren, brothers and sisters in the Lord, my family. If anyone among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he turns a sinner from the error of his ways. And he will save his soul from death, and he will cover a multitude of sins. You know what he just said there? Rescuing a brother or sister from living untruthfully to what Christ has done in their salvation, you know what he said? Has the same power as the saving power of Christ in salvation. You have rescued, saved them from sin's domination in their life. Well, I want to do that. Do you want to do that? Do we want to help each other in that, our lives, to do that? We certainly don't want sin's domination. We just don't want, you know, missing the mark and those things to just overwhelm our lives, to lead us in our life as a family, to just take us to where we don't want to go. And it says in the text, if a brother and sister comes alongside and you've strayed from the truth and he turns you back, repents, you know, God uses that to turn you in a different direction. It has the same power of the deliverance of Jesus Christ. This is the road traveled together that we have. This is important for us to see and understand and know, and this is what he's talking about. Paul said in Philippians 2:13 that we are to exercise or work out our salvation, and it says in yourselves. It means together. We're to work out, exercise our salvations together, for God is at work in you to will and to work for his good pleasure. In other words, we are to be joining in together on God's work in our lives. What's God's work in our lives? Who can give me the word that it is? Starts with an S. Sanctification, that's God's work in our lives. He's sanctifying us. You know what sanctified means? Separated from. What is he separating us from? Sin. Missing the mark. Thank you, Ken. That is absolutely true. That's what he's talking about. Sanctification, moving us farther away, moving us farther away from living a life that misses the mark. That's the work of God that he's doing in your life since he rescued you, delivered you. We would call it becoming more and more like Christ. He's conforming me to the image of Christ. One day I'll be like Christ as much as humanity can. That's the word of God, Scripture, John, 1 John 3, 1 or 2. And so this is the life that we have, and he says we're joining in it in each other's life. So Paul, addressing them that they've missed all of that, said, well, you know what the problem is you got self-conceit in your heart and think you're not mourning over the things that God mourns over, so you even miss each other's life. So turn your Bibles back to 1 Corinthians and look what he says here. Here's our behavior toward sin, verse 7 and 8. In each other's life. Listen to what he says. He says this, so clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump. Just as you are, in fact, unleavened, for Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice or wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Listen to what he just said there. Hey, we got to clean out the old life. We got to purge out the old life. You know we're a new lump? We're a new lump of bread. Unleavened, you know what that means? Positionally, no impurity by the blood of Christ in our salvation. I'm unleavened bread. Positionally, I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, no leaven. I want you to take this in this bowl of basket of apples here. This is us. This is the church. Before God, because of Christ, we stand before the Lord, not one blemish. No corruption, no blemish, no nothing. Positionally, perfect, shining, beautiful apple. And we're a bushel. We're together. We're the family of God. We stand before the Lord in that. But we're all working on the sanctification of pushing out or purging the old life, the old leaven. We're a new man. We have new life. There was the old life. There was the old man. Turn your Bibles to Colossians 3. Paul is talking about the same thing in Colossians 3. He's talking about this and what we do, or to clean out the old life. Our old way of life is trying to infiltrate the basket of apples, or the apples in the basket. This is what God's word said. Listen to Colossians 3, 5 and following. First, verse 1, he said this. He said, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ. You know what that means? That's if you're saved, born again believer. If you have the resurrection of the new life that you have in Christ. Since you do, keep seeking the things above. And look at verse 5. He says, therefore, since we have that, we have this new resurrected life in Christ. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because these things the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. Did you hear what he just said? We have this new life in Christ. Therefore, we have to consider these things dead to our new life in Christ. We have to purge them off. We have to put them off. We have to not live them in them. Listen to what he said next, verse 7. And in them you once walked when you were living in them, but now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. You know what we're to be doing in each other's life? Helping each other lay the old life down. Constantly, continually, always in our life. No, that's the old way of life. That's not the new way of life. We don't embrace the old way of life. This church, Corinthian church, is saying, oh, the old way of life's perfect, fine, wonderful. Go ahead, God saved us by grace. But the Word of God, Scripture, is always talking us that we have to lay down the old way of life. We have to put aside anger and malice and wrath. And do you know what it says? Do not lie to one another in there. You know what it means? You're a Christian and born-again believer in Jesus Christ. God saved you, rescued, delivered you. How come we're living that way? You're lying to each other by the way you're living. You're not repenting of sin. You're not dealing with your heart. You're not letting God change you. You're not learning the word of God. You're not getting yourself involved in all that. You know, you guys are lying to each other. Why do we lie to each other? Don't lie to each other. God saved you, rescued you, delivered you. We're not supposed to have anger, malice, slander, abusive speech. We're not supposed to be in impurity, immorality, passion. We get into it. It happens in our life. It comes into each other's lives. It's part of the life. But what are we doing? We're trying to clean out the old leaven. That's what he's talking about. And like Paul said in 1 Corinthians, we're to celebrate the new life together. Look at Colossians 3:10. Listen to what he said. Colossians 3:10, and having put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. He just said, hey, we have this new life and God is renovating the way we live. That's what it is, being renewed. God is renovating the way I live. I haven't arrived yet, but he's renovating it. He's creating it. He's renovating my life to reflect. Listen to what it says. A true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Who's the one that created me? Jesus Christ. According to the image of Jesus Christ, I'm being ordered, corrected, guided, led in my life the way I live, so it will be reflective of the image of Jesus Christ, a true knowledge of him. That's what he just said. God's at work in your life doing that. If you're a believer in Christ, God is at work in your life doing that. That's what he's doing. And then he says we are to embrace that, we're to be helping each other do that in each other's life, to lay aside the old self and put on the new. Back to 1 Corinthians 5. We're moving along here a little bit, but we're getting close here. Look what Paul said here. Verse 8. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. Let me ask you guys. You guys celebrate your new life in Christ? Woo-hoo! You celebrate? In your life, celebrating, that's what he's talking about, celebrating the feast. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. We're celebrating communion. You celebrate the feast that Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed, that the death angel moved past over us, that we're no longer in condemnation because of... You celebrate. Listen to what he says. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast, our new life in Christ, not with old leaven. That makes sense, right? Now, does that make sense? We're not going to celebrate our new life in Christ by living the old life, are we? Listen to what he says next. Listen to what Paul is talking to this church about. Nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness. When those two words go together, nor with the malice and wickedness, they go together. What it's talking about is the meaning is not to endeavor to harm others. We don't want to celebrate our new life in Christ to harm anybody, to harm others. And the illustration here is the Pharisees in Jesus' day. You're in, you're out. You're good enough, you're not good enough. This is what God is talking to them about in this church in the body of Christ. He said, we don't want to celebrate our new life in Christ by saying, okay, who's in, who's out. We don't celebrate like the Pharisees said, well, you know what, you don't hold to the rules enough, you're in, you're out. You're good, you're bad. That's legalism. We don't celebrate the feast, our new life in Christ, in that either. Listen to how we celebrate our new life together as a family of God. Listen to what he says in verse 8, the end of it. But with the unleavened bread, the new life we have of sincerity and truth. You know what he said there? It's real simple what he said. We celebrate this new life we have in Christ together in sincerity and truth, in honesty, seeking holy lives together by God's redeeming truth. Simply with honest and sincere living for the Lord. That's how we celebrate the Passover together. With honestly and sincerely living for the Lord. Who needs help with the things in their life? Get your hand up there. Well, let's honestly and sincerely live for the Lord and help each other. And let's honestly and sincerely for the Lord say, I'll come wash your feet. But let's honestly and sincerely for the Lord, Lord, put our feet up in the air and say, help me wash them. That's hard. Why? Arrogance. Always will be the stumbling block in this. I think too highly of myself. How about you? No, we don't. This is what Paul is trying to get to the message to this church. Why? For our behavior towards sin, it seeks restoration. Excuse me. It seeks restoration. That's what all 9 through 13 is about. That's the whole idea of 9 through 13. The whole idea of church discipline, as hard as that could be, would you guys agree with me? It's restoring one right to the Lord. Amen? That's the whole idea. It isn't about throwing out an apple. It's about restoring somebody to the Lord. The whole idea. The whole idea of our attitude, our behavior towards sin, of us trying to live holy lives for the Lord. You know what the whole thing is about? Restoration. Not ours. Others that need restored to the Lord. It's very simple, the Bible. Very simple, the message of God. He came, Christ, and saved us. We saw the glory of God shining in the face of Christ. Gave our life to Christ. He gave us a new life. Transformed our life. We're trying to live this new life. And God is using his church and their effort to love each other so they'll be disciples of God and so the world can see that they are loving each other with real love to draw others to restoration. That's the simple thing going on in the world. We'll close with this. That's what the illustrations were about. We're a couple minutes over, but we're okay. Or you might not think we're okay, but I think we're okay. You don't think I'm okay? I still got an arm, okay? I play baseball. Like, no. I want you to get to two things that we went through the last 2 weeks in this message. They're difficult, they're hard, but they're true, and they're what God wants us to do. We're a family of God, a body of Christ. Sin matters in our church. We're not sin hunters. We're not after sin. We're not like, oh, we want to help each other, love each other. We want to wash each other's feet and that kind of thing. But when there is unrepented sin in the body of Christ, because it will influence the basket of apples and our testimony and our shining for the Lord, and because that's what God says. God asks us to set it outside the basket. Why? To do all we can so it will get back in the basket. That's church discipline. You know, sometimes you do that and they're gone. Heart break your heart. This never was the design. But it certainly isn't, let's get the things out of the basket that keep corrupting us. It's never been that. Because then you got to get out. Because God's got to work in our life for the things that are in our life. But unrepentant sin, those that won't turn, we're setting them out so God can work in their heart, like I said last week. And he's a lot better of an admonisher than we can be. Because we can in his word and his truth. But it's so they'll get back in. Second message here today. We want to work in our lives. Shine for the Lord. We got to. We got some things going on in the basket. Positionally, man, it's perfect. Practically, got some holes on the other side, right? But that's okay. We don't want them there, but that's the journey that we travel together with. That's the life we travel as a body of Christ, helping each other in that. But you know what? That life that we journey together, love one another, God uses. This is the loss of the world to draw these to become an apple. The love of God. The love we have for one another, if it's the love of God that seeks others and seeks God, God uses to draw others to become an apple. And it's that much of a transformation. Paired an apple. Well, none of us can do it. He does it. Let's pray.